Hey, y'all, changing my wardrobe from summer to fall? Hey, it's never easy. Luckily, Quince offers timeless and high-quality items I adore, ensuring my wardrobe stays fresh and I don't blow my budget. And there's nothing easier than going to Quince and choosing these high-quality items, like cashmere sweaters from $50, pants for every occasion, washable silk tops, and so much more. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, and I love that. Look, I got the stainless steel Link Apple Watch band for $59.90, and it's heavy duty, it's awesome, and it's like $100 less than I could find anywhere else. And I also got a 100% organic cotton fisherman quarter zip up sweater. The color is alabaster. Man, I can't wait to wear that dude out this fall. And Cindy got the Mongolian cashmere boat neck sweater and heather gray. And I'm telling you, these are classic pieces at a fraction of the price. Make switching seasons a breeze with Quince's high quality closet essentials. Go to quince.com/RLRC for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/RLRC to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/RLRC. You'll thank me later.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime Daily for Thursday, October the
17th.
Thirsty Thursday, right?
Yes.
Thirsty Thursday. We might have a little NFL football tonight. Oh, I forgot to talk about the coolness and the weather. Came Wednesday, high in the 70s, huh? Isn't it nice?
It's beautiful.
It's going to get back in the 80s, but it's... But 80s are better than 90s, and 90s are better than 100s. So fall is upon us, and more than halfway through October, November 1's coming quickly.
Very, very quickly.
Yep. And so I don't have all the headlines and stuff like Jim Chapman normally reads. And again, since sitting with me today, Jim covered for us on Tuesday, and we appreciate that. But let's roll with some true crime time for Thirsty Thursday. And I'll let you start, ladies first.
All right. So I should know this, but I know that you do. Where is Minden?
Minden's way up north.
Okay. So ex-Minden mayor has been murdered.
Okay.
And his daughter.
Well.
So this very small... Right. Louisiana City was struck by tragedy last month after the beloved former mayor and his adult daughter were both fatally shot. Allegedly, they were shot by the daughter's son.
Oh, God.
And so...
Did they say how old he was?
I think he is around 11.
Okay.
So, Joe Cornelius, who's 82... was found slain in his Minden, Louisiana home on September 1st. His daughter, 31, Keisha Miles, was found dead next to him. In an incident that has apparently, obviously, shaken the community.
Right. It's like to the east of Shreveport.
Okay.
And so like Shreveport and Ruston.
Okay. The police allege that Keisha Miles's 11-year-old son confessed to the shootings. Golly, so he killed his mom and his grandfather.
11 years old. Jeez Louise.
So the
that's the youngest we could lock him up when that
Lord Parish Juvenile Detention Center.
Yeah.
You were in there for rape and murder and armed robbery, stuff like that.
Yeah.
11 was the youngest. And that's just a baby.
He's a baby.
When
you hear why, I don't understand part of it, but I can understand some of it.
All right.
So, following the double homicide, the case has taken a disturbing turn. Videos, which were discovered by Keisha Miles's son, a 17-year-old Uriah Miles, appear to show Keisha confronting Cornelius about molesting her and Cornelius admitting to doing so.
Cornelius was
the mayor, the father, yeah, the grandfather. Okay. Right. Uriah recovered the videos from his mom's phone, iCloud, after the killing, so he was able to show the police. The videos were from 2021, and Keisha is basically approaching her father and saying that for years he molested her and he would buy her things in exchange for sexual activity.
Typical.
When you do things for me, you expect something in return. Like when you got the furniture, like when you got that car for me, you always wanted something in return and you wanted something sexual, right? Keisha Miles says to Cornelius in the videos. Mm-hmm. And he sits silent at first, but then he responds and he said, well, whatever it is, you mostly enjoyed it.
Oh my God.
And he appears to be unaware that he's being recorded.
Right.
So
in Louisiana, you can do that as long as it's one party consent, as long as one person, this part of the conversation approves that you can record it.
Right. And she says, no, I never did, Joe. So she's like separating herself from him as her dad because I felt like I had to in order to survive. She goes on to share sexually graphic details of what she says her father needed from her in exchange for goods. At one point, when Keisha makes the accusation that he propositioned her for sexual favors, he says, I ain't never said nothing like that. But when Miles persists in her accusations, Cornelius appears again to acknowledge that he, in fact, molested her. You said you didn't tell nobody about this, but you have, he says. And she said, you told me you would say they would never believe you. And he says, and nobody will.
Yeah.
Cornelius, I'm sorry.
That's just typical of the grooming part. And when they get done and they're like, you know, nobody's going to believe you. They're going to say you're crazy. You know, I'm the mayor and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. So he was a revered in the community, and he briefly served as interim mayor in 2013. But as a former councilman for Minden, he was also known for his work with local youth and earned the nickname Mr. Joe for serving ice cream to the children of Webster Parish. So in 1990, Cornelius found the Concerned Citizens of Minden, which worked with local children and raised money for scholarships.
Sounds like a grooming platform.
But to his grandsons, Uriah, which is the 17-year-old, as well as the 11-year-old suspect, which obviously they're not naming because he's a minor, right. He was a much different person. And they knew from their mother that their grandfather had sexually abused her as a child. Hmm. But Miles was also concerned about Cornelius's behavior around her children and her younger daughter.
She's mom. She's got to protect them.
Right. And asked the boys to watch over her younger daughter, who was 6 years old, when they were around Cornelius.
Right.
And the boys said that he was always looking at her. The teen adds he would tell her, there is something on the floor. You need to pick it up. Or, you know, would you come and sit on my lap?
Yeah.
So Minden Police Jared McAvire admits that authorities had heard rumors about Cornelius, including about his alleged sexual abuse, but have found no substantial evidence to back these claims. But Uriah is hopeful the videos he recovered will expose Cornelius's secret life and let the public know about the abuse he inflicted upon his family.
This I mean, obviously they're going to, but what about the 11-year-old? Why did he kill him?
It doesn't say. It says the 11-year-old is being tried as a juvenile and has entered a not guilty plea.
Yeah.
So I don't know why he killed his mama.
I don't know. We certainly going to stay on top of this one. I don't know how I haven't heard of that.
I know.
Wow. You know, you never know what goes on behind closed doors. And the fact that she did it for so many years as a victim, you certainly can't blame her on that. And you know, at least finally, when she's a mama, she's recording it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't know what happens and why the 11-year-old, wow. And then you come into, you know, kids having access to guns and the whole nine yards, and maybe he killed his mama accidentally when he was shooting him. I don't know. Maybe they were arguing.
We don't know. It's pure speculation. Pure speculation.
And
yep.
Very disturbing story. I don't mind. And look, you know, people think that it only happens in small towns or poor people or whatever. But you know what? It happens in big cities and happens with rich people. And if you're a sick fuck pedophile, you are. And I don't know. I would bet there's going to be a lot of times other victims won't even come forward now because they're adults and stuff and they're married and they have their own families and they don't want to say this dude did it to me too.
Exactly.
And, but thank God she got the video of it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know. I don't know what else to say about that, but we will follow that in the months to come, right?
Yeah.
Because there'll be more. And so you stay on top of that story. And okay. Tell us what happens in the future.
Okay.
Oh, well, you know, it's my favorite time of year, football and hunting season. And the SEC, the Southeastern Conference, of course, is revered as the best conference in the nation and all that. And you know, to become a player of one of these schools, especially the ones that win the most national championships, like Georgia, although mm-hmm. LSU's won a couple in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take you to Georgia and tell you what's going on right now. And now Georgia at this time, I think this week they were ranked number two or maybe Alabama beat them and they were number one. However it is, they're always at the top of the polls.
Right.
And they almost always are playing for the SEC championship and usually for a national championship. But now one of their star football players is in deep shit. So, and he's a wide receiver. All right. And his attorney says that he claims that his client never made physical contact with the victim, or alleged victim in this mm-hmm. case, right? Mm-hmm. So the University of Georgia, you know, rightfully so, has suspended Kobe Young, one of its football team's top wide receivers, after he was arrested Tuesday morning on allegations he assaulted his pregnant girlfriend. And this is sick. And allegedly, he tried to squeeze her stomach during the attack.
Oh, my gosh.
I know, right? Fucking sick. And so Young was arrested on Tuesday, October the 8th, and charged with misdemeanor battery and an assault of an unborn child. And that's got to be a felony. And this is according to the arrest report. And the Associated Press and ESPN reported that Young is no longer in custody and was released on a $3,800 bond on Tuesday. But he was arrested after the ex-girlfriend says he assaulted her and her unborn child at his apartment late Monday night around midnight. Now, according to the arrest report, Young's 20-year-old ex-girlfriend told officers she went to his apartment to discuss their relationship and found that he was there with
someone else.
No, well, he was on the phone with another woman.
Okay.
She wasn't present. But so Young then reportedly grabbed the woman and physically pulled her out of his room before locking the door behind him. This woman told the cops, right? So the woman then began collecting her things and answered a phone call from a friend, which is when she said that Young came out of his room and grabbed her from behind and began attacking her. She said that he picked her up and began to squeeze her torso and abdomen very hard. She said she felt like Young was trying to harm her, right? So an arresting officer noted that the woman had a bruise and marks near the top of her abdomen. Mm-hmm. And this, but Young told the officer it wasn't from him. Oh. And this is in the arrest report. Now, Colby Young was arrested on Monday night after he asked his ex-girlfriend to leave his apartment. This was his attorney, Kim Stevens, said in a statement. He said he did not make physical contact with her in any way that ever could be considered a crime. And Young is a senior at Georgia and is still listed on the team's roster, though the school says he is suspended as his arrest plays out, according to ESPN. Now, after five games this season, Young from Binghamton, New York, he was second on the team with two touchdown catches and had 11 receptions for 149 yards. And he transferred to Georgia after 2 years at Miami. Now, head coach Kirby Smart told reporters at a team practice this week that Young's arrest is a very sensitive matter, a tough thing to deal with. And he said it's unfortunate. So, you know, it's going to be a he said, she That's said. Right. And but the evidence, they evidently had enough evidence to arrest him. And in Louisiana, if it's a domestic violence call and you show up and one of them or both parties have injuries, you know, you can tell if it's defensive injuries or like grabbing the wrist to stop somebody from attacking you. But having it around your abs, she's like, hey, grab me from behind and squeeze my baby.
And have bruises.
Yeah, and have bruises. That's why he got arrested. But the way we're not certainly not saying he's guilty because we weren't there. But that's a, I mean, what the hell are you thinking?
How long does it take for that bruise to appear?
I don't think there's really an exact science to bruising, but you know, naturally they start to appear. Mm-hmm. And then as the days go by, it'll get worse. It'll become darker, and then it'll become lighter and kind of like yellow and then fade away. So, I mean, it's blood underneath the skin.
Yeah.
The star player probably headed for the NFL and all that. And I guess we'll see how it shakes out. I don't know these kids, and they are kids, these college football players. Some of them, like he transferred Miami to Georgia. That's the name. That what image likeness deal, yeah. The NIL, where they can transfer mm-hmm. to bigger markets and play for bigger teams. Mm-hmm. And I don't know.
Sometimes these boys, they're young, that are the kids, the males and females, don't know what to do with their fame, right?
Well, they think they're untouchable.
Right. That's right.
But here's the motto of it. Don't fucking put your hands on anybody.
You're right.
Right.
You are absolutely right.
All right, moving on.
Well, this man didn't put his hands on anybody. He put a hammer.
Oh, Lord.
So.
That never ends well.
No, I would say no. An Indiana man called the police to report his wife missing on October 3rd. Mm-hmm. The next day, Daniel Keith Flaherty, the man, allegedly told police that he had repeatedly struck his wife with a hammer in their living room, nice. According to the affidavit for probable cause and corresponding exhibit. Then he allegedly told the authorities he'd placed her dead body in their Toyota Highlander, hid the vehicle behind the barn, and waited for the couple's two children to leave for school.
Wow, nice of him.
Right? And then after that, he drove to Wabash River.
Wabash.
Okay. Where he lit the vehicle on fire.
Nice.
And then he rigged it to auto drive into the water.
Nice.
He was 42, obviously charged with murder and booked.
Where is this?
This is in Indiana.
I thought so. Okay.
And so just weeks earlier, the wife, Kayla, decided that she filed for divorce and just stated in the petition that the dissolution of marriage was because they suffered irretrievable breakdown and the marriage should be dissolved due to irreconcilable differences.
Right.
So he had not been served yet.
Yeah.
But he, according to the affidavit, told police that in the day leading up to the arrest, Kayla had left their house in Pocota, Indiana at 1:30 a.m. and headed towards her mother's home some 20 miles away. He claimed that she had not texted him that she had arrived and that she usually did. But law enforcement and volunteers searched for her and nothing was found.
They didn't find any blood inside or anything?
Supposedly, maybe they didn't get inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was scheduled for work at the Good Samaritan Hospital, and her employer called, like, responded that she had, right.
She didn't show up for work.
Right. And so then he basically, Flaherty told the police that his wife left after a discussion about their relationship. But then he later decided to tell the truth and say that he said that he struck his wife in the head repeatedly with a hammer on the morning of October 3rd. And after dumping, this is the really sick part to me. After dumping the body, he rode his bicycle back home before heading to Costco and Lowe's.
To get on video camera saying I wasn't there.
And Home Depot. And then he directed law enforcement right where he dumped the body, and they later found the burned out vehicle and human remains inside. He has a court appearance, and
wow,
that's basically that.
We do these stories all the time about people going through divorces and killing each other, but you know,
you've already filed for divorce. Why? I mean, you're getting away. Like, yeah, why?
Don't make a fuck to a lot of them. You know, the multiple blows, hammer to the head, that's a bad way to go.
That is a bad way
from the person that you were married to.
That was the mother of your children.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you built your life with them, and then you took her life, beating in a hammer. And then, yeah, you know, he's fucked, man, because he can't claim temporary insanity or anything else because he took the body and hit it and burn the vehicle. He's fucked.
Yeah.
As he should be.
Mm-hmm.
And no sympathy on my part. But hey, shout out to whatever investigator got that cat to tell the truth.
That's for sure.
Good law enforcement on that one. So, all right, here we go. Let's do this. And, well, you know, the feds, God bless them, right? They can't enforce jaywalking or local crimes like speeding and shit like that, right? Mm-hmm. But they do federal shit like DEA, dope cases.
They come correct.
They're only taking your case that you built, if you built it correct, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not just drugs. The ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. You got FBI. You got all these different agencies. Well, let me tell you about what some federal agents got recently. And they recovered nearly 1,000 pounds of uncontained explosives and explosive materials from, wait for it, the homes of a security guard and a student.
Oh.
So Steve is a security guard at school.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the plot thickens. Well, he was a former high school security guard who worked with a high schooler to sell explosives on Instagram.
What?
Yeah. He just got sentenced to 2 years in federal prison. And his name's Angelo Jackson Mendiver. He's 27 years old. And he pled guilty to conspiring to engage in the manufacturing and dealing in explosive materials and for mailing explosive devices into making false statements to FBI agents. And this is according to press release by the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Eastern District of California. It's crazy. Mendiver, who had worked as a campus security supervisor at Arvin High School in Arvin, California, worked closely with an East Bakersfield High School student to fulfill transactions and send explosives in the mail to residents of other states. And this is according to prosecutors. All right. This is, both schools are part of the current high school district, and he had been a longtime employee. But federal investigators learned about the explosives on August 13th of 2022 after a postal employee observed what appeared to be an improvised explosive devices inside a package that had been accidentally opened. Mm-hmm. All right. Later that day, a special agent bomb technician identified 62 improvised explosive devices contained within that one package.
Jeez.
All right. And in the complaint, it notes that the devices were about 6 inches long, and they remotely cut into one of the devices, and investigators determined it contained about 70 grams of energetic material, meaning like probably gunpowder.
So how much damage could that do?
A lot. I mean, it'd blow your arm off.
Yeah.
But based on an interview with one of Mendiver's alleged buyers, he sold the devices for $10 each.
Oh, my. Right?
So a few. Hey, y'all. You want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with the subject? Is your child ahead, not getting challenged enough in class? Well, IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to become curious and empowers them to choose how to learn. Look, we homeschool our son. No doubt about it. He's more of a visual learner, and we use IXL, and Cindy teaches him, and there are so many different benefits to the program. It adapts to exactly what he needs in different areas. So IXL is the perfect supplement to your homeschool curriculum. IXL offers interactive practice problems, educational games, lessons, and video tutorials for every topic you're teaching at home. It's easy to use, time-saving. Everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you're covering. IXL offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. Kids can explore any topic in any grade level. They aren't forced into a single learning path like they are on other programs. If you're homeschooling your child because they were falling behind or because they were too far ahead like our son, IXL is a great program to help them get the exact support they need. Kids love IXL's positive feedback awards and educational games. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Real Life Real Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. And don't forget, Real Life Real Crime listeners get 20% off. Y'all, we really do use this product, and it's been a godsend. Hey, y'all, let me tell you about Mochi. Mochi is a telehealth platform that connects patients seeking medication-based weight loss treatment with board-certified doctors and dietitians to help them determine the best treatment options to accomplish that goal. Mochi's program is completely virtual, meaning you can access their services anywhere in the United States and you will be meeting with their team online. You deserve doctors that listen. Mochi is dedicated to providing holistic, patient-centered care that prioritizes overall well-being with the goal of transforming how weight management is approached. Mochi Health takes a holistic approach to weight loss that includes visit with board-certified doctors, nutrition consultations, and medications delivered to your door. Science-backed medications including GLP-1s like Ozempic and generic compound versions, affordable and accessible, regardless of insurance coverage. With Mochi,
Their dietitians work hand in hand with your medication to create personalized nutrition plans that fit your lifestyle. Reach your weight loss goals with science-backed FDA-approved GLP-1 medications and support from real doctors and guidance from registered dietitians and help with making easy and sustainable changes to achieve results. Y'all have seen this. My wife has done it. My brother-in-law has done it. One of my best friends is doing it, and it really is an amazing process that works. So get started at joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off. That's join, joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off and let Mochi help change your life. Months later, investigators traced an apparent explosive device placed in a woman's bathroom at the New York, New Jersey airport back to PyroDirect, a company that sold components used to make improvised explosive devices, and that was connected to Mendira in the complaint. The company had allegedly sold components used in a device recovered from the airport to 8 customers, including the high school student identified in the complaint only as ML, because he's a junior. In Instagram messages, some were redacted in the complaint. The Mendiver sent MM, the kid, 2 videos of homemade explosive devices telling him, "I made both of these." Then responded to the teen's exclamations. Mendiver added, "Homemade kills all consumers."
Goodness.
Right? In another message, prosecutors say he warned the teen, "Super careful, bro. That homemade shit is dangerous." Well, the feds seized 536 pounds of uncontained, I guess that just means they're not in a protective area, explosives and explosive materials during a June 2023 search of Mendiver's residence. And the prosecutors said in the press release that they presented an extreme safety hazard to residents. And investigators recovered another 440 pounds of uncontained explosives and explosive materials from Eminem's home, the kid's home. And this is, the prosecutor said this, and they say that the agents also found items used to make the explosives at both houses. Right? Mendiver, who had worked for the school district on and off since graduating early from high school in 2014, he had started working in the maintenance operations department and eventually worked as a security guard for the school district, as well as at Arvin High School, and according to the September sentence memorandum submitted by his lawyer, and guess what? He won the lower sentence. But his lawyer, Monica Bermudez, wrote in her sentence and proposed that Mendiver was committed to his sobriety and rehabilitation, and that after losing his job at the school, he found another steady employment. And yeah, right. He has remained marijuana free for the first time since he was 16 years old. You can blame it on the weed. So anyway, in a letter of support included by his lawyer and his proposed sentence memorandum, Katie Perez, the dean of student behavior and supports with the current high school district of Bakersfield, blah, 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 she actually praised his work ethic, temperament, and personality.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
I guess
she wasn't aware that he was making bombs and selling them to people, right? I don't know how many bags of fertilizer it was that Timothy McVeigh and them did when they blew up the Oklahoma City bombing. But you're talking about over 1,000 some pounds here. If it's 50 pounds a bag, that's 20 bags. I'm saying it's fertilized, I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
20 bags of bad shit, and you're selling it for the purpose of blowing. I mean, who knows what the fuck are you using? People are going to use it for. And you're selling it on Instagram? Motherfucker, you don't think you really caught?
I mean,
say something, y'all.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't get it.
I'm just flabbergasted that these people were talking about how their sobriety was great work ethic. And they, I mean, we're going to like praise you for
anybody they can to do whatever to try to get the judge to lower his points. I don't know.
He murdered somebody, but he cleaned up the scene real well. I mean, like, good work. I mean, I just don't get the thought process.
It's stupid.
Well, I have two different stories to lighten it up a little bit. One is about Kanye.
Yeah.
And one is about an angry cyclist. All so
right. Do tell.
I'm going to go with the angry cyclist instead of Kanye.
Good.
I figured you would appreciate that.
I've heard of that dude. Kanye West, whatever, but I've never heard of his music or whatever.
Yeah.
Or is he an actor? I don't know.
No, he's a singer, but a rapper or whatever, entrepreneur. So I would like your ideas or your thoughts on bicyclists on the roads.
All right. Well, that's just like a car. You have to ride in the same direction that you're going in and everything else. And it's kind of no different than a motorcyclist. They have a right to be on the road.
Mm-hmm. In this story in Salt Lake City, there's an angry cyclist and he was filmed by a driver. It was a young driver and this cyclist was in his 70s, if I'm not mistaken, 73. So the 73-year-old man was chastising a 22-year-old kid for getting too close. And he was going to call the cops. Like the 73-year-old man was like, you're wrong, you know, whatever. So the driver of the car, his name is Pierce Kempton, filmed the hostile interaction with the 73-year-old driver, Gary Peacock, on his phone. A portion of the exchange, which was filmed near a skate park in Park City, Utah last month, was also caught on Kempton's dashboard cam. People have dashboard cams now.
Right.
Peacock can be heard, which is the older man. He can be heard asking Kempton if he saw him on the road. The cyclist is seen opening Kempton's door on the driver's side, demanding he get out of the vehicle.
The older man's
saying, get out of the car, kid. You're not leaving. I'm calling the police.
The
is what he's saying.
Stop. Yeah, yes. You can't do that.
Kempton tried to leave to go to skate, but Peacock, the older man, prevents him from leaving, standing in front of the driver's side. With a calm demeanor, Kempton says, bro's got his effing hands on me, because Kempton obviously knows he's recording and being recorded, so he's going to keep himself together, right? He asks Peacock why he's being so cranky. And says he doesn't want to get aggressive with him. And Peacock gets a dispatcher on the phone saying that he has a very aggressive teenager who supposedly almost hit him. And as Kempton stands by, Peacock demands that police be sent to ticket Kempton. And he's willing to testify this in court. An officer eventually arrives on the scene and separates the two parties. And ultimately, Peacock was fined $160 for disorderly conduct, and Kempton was actually reportedly fined $130 for passing too closely. Man gets the higher, like, you know, $160 fine just because he has to be whatever. So then it just goes on to, like, say that Utah law, you know, prevents drivers from engaging vulnerable users on the highway and whatever. So I just thought that lightened the mood a little bit.
You know, it does lighten it because usually those stories end with somebody shooting somebody.
Exactly.
And whether it's a pedestrian or what have you. And I don't know. He thought he was going to do something, but you can't. I mean, you have something like that happens and you bother, you can pull over, call the cops.
Yeah.
Give the description, follow the motherfucker if you got to.
Right.
But then you're asking to get shot in case the guy's armed. It might be a murderer or whatever.
Right.
But he just hell bent that he's going to get the kid in trouble.
And yeah.
I guess the joke's on him.
Right.
So, all right. Well, there we go. I'm going to take the mood the other way.
Okay.
All right. But it really rained down some pain on y'all's brains. And we're going to Brazil, way down south.
Do you ever want to go there?
This may be like 10th on the list or something like that.
Yeah.
Not a real big deal.
No.
For me. I mean, you see it on TV, right?
Okay.
But, we got a lot of other places to go. So, I mean, anyway, this is where a man held his wife and seven children and mother-in-law captive for 20 years. What? And sexually abused several of them, right? Now, one of the suspect's daughters escaped the home and reported him to police. And a father, and as I told you, the father and a husband in Brazil is accused by police of sexually abusing and imprisoning his wife, their seven children, and his mother-in-law for 2 decades. 2 decades, 20 years. Now, the alleged crimes came to light after one of the daughters escaped the home in Novo Oriente de Minas in the state of Minas Gerais, and this according to local police. So, the 54-year-old man, who's my age, who has not been named in the reports, held his 40-year-old wife captive for almost the entirety of their marriage. Right?
She was 20 when it started.
That's crazy. The victim only left the house to receive benefits and was often accompanied by him. Mm-hmm. And none of the neighbors knew her. Not even relatives had access to her, she said. It's kind of like that dude in England the other day you were talking about. Mm-hmm. But the couple's children were between the ages of 3 and 22. Were also victimized by him as part of the police report. The daughters alleged they had been sexually abused by their father. And police alleged the daughters claimed the man drilled holes into the walls of the house so he could see them taking showers and getting dressed. Nice. Mm-mm. The man also allegedly sexually abused his now deceased mother-in-law. Oh, and again, this is what the police are saying. The police further alleged the woman died after falling ill and not being given proper care. Wow, this dude just keeps going. Listen to this shit. The man is further accused of burying 3 fetuses on the property after forcing his wife to have 3 miscarriages by making her take medication. Oh, I know it's bad. The man is being charged with false imprisonment, rape of a vulnerable person, psychological violence, abortion, and concealment of a corpse. And it's all according to the police shit. What this daughter did is very important. Bringing what was happening to the public so that action could be taken in the... their statement about it, I guess, but he's in custody and he's denied all charges against him.
Oh, isn't my that fuck gosh. Up? That's
right. You think evil doesn't exist?
I know.
And internationally, nationally, in your backyard, mm-hmm. across the ocean, just happens everywhere. But it's real life, real crime.
Yeah. It is.
So
what would you do if you were just driving down the road and someone flipped you off?
Nothing. Happens all the time.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, this man in Texas decided to kill a man and his son for getting flipped off.
There you go. Happens all the time. Just like I was telling you on the bicycle story, normally it ends up bad, right?
Right. So, a Texas man is accused of fatally shooting a father and son before telling a woman performing CPR on the victims to stop helping them, according to the arrest affidavit.
They shot him and then said, don't help him.
Right. Romy Frantescu is being held in McClellan County Jail on 2 counts of capital murder, according to jail reports. According to the arrest affidavit, police in Bruceville, Eddy, Texas, say that they responded to a woman performing CPR on a bleeding man on Saturday, October 5th. Police say the woman told officers that she had stopped to perform chest compressions when a man in a truck stopped and told her to quit rendering aid because he wanted the man to die before he left the scene.
Holy shit.
The man was later identified as Francisco. The victims were identified as Michael Morris, 38, and Braxton Johnson, 18, father and son.
Mm.
Police say that Francisco himself called 911 to say he had been jumped and that he was going home, according to the reported affidavit. He allegedly also told police upon questioning the man that he had flipped him off.
Flipped him off.
The man flipped him off. And so he said he followed the man and told him to leave him alone before a fight broke out. And then he was threatened with a knife during the fight, and he was on the ground when he began firing his gun. And it is not immediately clear if Francisco has been formally charged or if he has entered a plea. He is being held on a $1 million bond.
There you have it.
All for being flipped off.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I tell you and I tell the kids, I mean, somebody does that shit, leave them alone. Call 911.
Yeah.
And stay on the phone, but don't roll your fucking windows down. Don't stop.
Yeah.
Because you don't know who you're messing with.
No.
I mean, it could be Charles Manson. Or it could be some asshole like this. And you just never know who you are fucking with. And for that reason, you don't have to mess with them. For flipping you off? I mean, okay, that physically hurts you? I mean, I wish I had a dime for every time somebody flipped me off.
Oh, we would be so rich.
A police officer's peace cannot be disturbed. You can't arrest a motherfucker for flipping you off.
Well.
Or calling you a pig or whatever. I mean, so police officer can't do it, then I'm sure you can find other reasons. But the don't, y'all sure don't need to have. Do it. All right. So, look, was it today or yesterday that we told them about the dog story and the one-year-old getting killed?
Yesterday.
Oh, Lord. So here we go. I'm going to tell you about a guy who's 5 years older than me. Lived in New York City. And he died a horrific death because he was mauled to death by multiple dogs.
Mm-mm.
Yep. So authorities identified the victim of the attack as, Lord, this guy, his name is James Provost, but he lived in Schenectady. I'm sure Mike Argavino can tell me how to say that correctly.
Schenectady?
Yeah, S-C-H-E-N-E-C-T-A-D-Y. So anyway, a man was mauled to death by multiple dogs in Albany, New York this week during what police are calling a horrific attack. And on Wednesday, October 9th, around 5:55 p.m. local time, Albany Police Department officers responded to a call about multiple dogs attacking a man at the 500 block of Central Avenue.
Wow.
Yep. So responding officers observed the dogs fatally attacking the man when they arrived before one of the officers shot one of the dogs in an attempt to stop the attack. The victim was pronounced dead at the scene, according to Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins.
Is there an age of the victim?
59 years old, okay. James Provost.
Okay, right? I forgot the 59.
From Schenectady or wherever he's from. But all the dogs, the chief says, all the dogs have been accounted for, and Albany Police Department is currently in the process of placing them in an appropriate homing facility. Pretty sure they're going to get put down. So this, they posted this on their Facebook account shortly after the attack. And witnesses told WRGB, I guess a local news outlet, that they first heard the attack when the man was calling for help as the dogs were barking. Now, Hawkins said that Provost was attacked by 8 or 9 dogs that lived in a home next to the scene of the attack. 23 mixed breed pit bull dogs, including 15 puppies, were later seized.
Damn.
Now, the Mohawk Hudson Humane Society arrived at the scene around 8 p.m. put the dogs in hauling crates in a van. The dog's caregiver has been cooperative in the investigation. Hawkins also said a judge will have to rule on what happens next to the dogs following an investigation. He added that none of the animals have proper licenses. Well, I don't know about that because you don't have to have a license in Louisiana. But he says, we put these dogs in a place where they can't cause any further harm, a place where they can't escape, a place where they can be kept while this matter is adjudicated. And once that happens, then some other authority, some other authority will make some decision as to whether or not these dogs are released to home or whether some or all of these dogs are euthanized. Now, Hawkins also said police are working with the Albany County's DA's office to determine if there will be criminal charge related to the dog attack. It was a horrific attack. Obviously, when you're keeping that many animals in a location in violation of city ordinance, and some of these animals kill a person, there's certainly a possibility for it, he said. Now, a local resident told the WRGB after attack that it was the first time I have ever witnessed something like this. Well, I hope it's the last time, too.
Yeah.
This is something that's serious. And then now people get to really look out. You got to know how to control your dogs. At the end of the day, if they are trained or not, it takes a little dog to end somebody's life. And that's freaking crazy.
I can't imagine. Yeah, we
raised, and I've said this before, where we've bred in the past our English Springer Spaniels.
Yeah.
And, you know, people, you've had to put them on these websites and they've sold all over the United States or whatever. We're no puppy mill, you know.
Yeah. And people are begging us.
I mean, you have that many dogs in a house. I don't know. Somebody's probably going to get their ass in a crack. But that dude he's 59 years old, got eaten to death by a pack of fucking dogs in the city.
That's right.
In the city.
I know. That's scary. Scary, mm-hmm. Scary. I can just speak off of my experience. My dog, which I made the mistake, he was mating with a female when I was like 9 years old, yeah. And I tried to separate them. And he turned around and he just bit me. I still have a scar right here.
See, you showed it to me about 1 million times.
What did you used to do on Friday nights or Sunday nights?
Friday nights. Sunday nights. Sunday mornings. And it's a running joke that when I was single.
But I'm telling the audience, they've never heard the story. And so.
You're right.
Then.
What's the name of the dog? Pretty or Pinky?
Freckles. And
the problem was Freckles trying to get him some booty.
Yeah.
And you destroyed it.
With a honey. Their name was Honey.
Yeah.
And then I felt really scared when I told you about the other episode. This one, I mean, there was just one fang that got me, and that scared me. Yeah. And to put my, it's like your fingers.
Well, I had these three fingers bitten off by my own dog. And
exactly.
They got tied up, but they weren't fucking. They were fighting.
Yeah.
And not any dogs. This is way before Cindy.
Right.
Damn dog bit me.
Yeah.
And I had to have my fingers sewed back on.
And that trauma scared me. You know what I mean? Like, can you imagine being bald?
I'm not getting between two fucking dogs anymore.
No.
I don't know. And it happens, and I hate that for that dude. And he's probably just walking or something in the neighborhood and got killed.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I don't know either.
But
I do know it's almost November 1st.
Yep. So y'all stay tuned. We're going to conclude this episode of Real Life Real Crime Daily. And love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Go check out our TikToks and our Real Life Real Crime community app for free in the App Store and all that good podcaster shit.
Right? Absolutely.
And we appreciate y'all. Enjoy your thirsty Thursday and the cooler temperatures, right?
Yes.
And I don't know how we end this without me and Jim been doing it for so many years. You say it.
I'm Cindy Overton.
And I'm Woody Overton. And until next time, peace.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.